Esta reunión en español, por favor, accese a la línea de español por el teléfono marcando 978-990-5153 e ingrese el código 2547235. Repito, el número es 978-990-5153 y el código de acceso es 2547235. Si desea permanecer en la reunión de Zoom para ver a la reunión mientras escuche en español, simplemente póngase en silencio en su computadora y puede escuchar la reunión en español solamente en la línea de teléfono.
Gracias. A special shout out to Translation and Interpretation. They are here tonight on short notice, so we really, really appreciate it. I'm going to do some housekeeping now, just to sort of tell everybody where we are. So thank you everybody for coming. We have currently 31 attendees and 13 panelists. This meeting is hosted by CEP 30 and co-presidents myself, Deborah Alexander and Roberto Cruz, and CEC Administrative Assistant Extraordinaire Gail Cohen. Okay. This meeting was called by CEC 30 and will be moderated by myself, Deborah Alexander, co-president Roberto Cruz, and the CEC 30 administrative assistant, Gail Cohen. We have Spanish interpreters here working on a separate line. I would ask all participants and remind myself to please speak slowly to allow the interpreters to keep up. Can I actually ask, I think we're having, can the interpreters mute themselves? I think we're getting feedback. Can everybody mute themselves? There we go. Okay, thank you. Okay. This is a public meeting and is being recorded. Please mute your microphone whenever you are not speaking. First, this evening, I am going to introduce the resolution and allow council members to add comments and questions. Then we will move to public comment from those in attendance at this meeting. Comments will be limited to 2 minutes. Speakers requiring interpretation will be given additional time. Because we will have simultaneous interpretation all throughout this meeting, it is very important that everyone speaks slower than usual to allow the interpreters to keep up. Please do not talk over anyone. First, if there are any students who happen to be here, please type your name into the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen. We always like to give our students a chance to speak at the top of the meeting. Please give us your name and what school you attend. Second, we will take comments from participants who have joined via computer in the Zoom room. Please press the hand icon to raise your hand. This can be found by clicking on participants at the bottom of your screen. We will call on those speakers in the order in which they raise their hands and manually unmute their microphones. When your name is called, please give us your name and what school your child or children attend. Or if you are not from a District 30 school or District 30 in general, it would be great if we could just know where you are coming from, and we're happy to have you. While this is a public meeting and anyone may speak, we are first and foremost interested in the thoughts of the parents and students of District 30. But again, we welcome comments and feedback or questions from all. Third, we will take comments from participants who have called in by phone. Gail will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number and will manually unmute your line to allow you to say yes or no if you would like to say something. If you do want to speak, please state your name and where your child or children attend school. Finally, I will read comments that have been submitted to the CEC by email on this resolution. A special reminder that this special meeting was called to help inform the CEC's position on the issue of school safety officers and their relationship with the NYPD. Please limit your comments to this topic. Our next general calendar meeting will be on Tuesday, July 14th, and public comment on any topic will be allowed. I will now call the meeting to order at 7:39 p.m. To open our meeting, Shannon, will you please call the roll?
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Ms. Deborah Alexander.
Present.
Mr. Roberto Cruz?
Present.
Mr. Jonathan Greenberg?
Present.
Ms. Kashina Harris?
Present.
Ms. Fatima?
Present.
Ms. Shannon Lee, myself, present. Ms. Amina Mazia?
Not yet.
Ms. Nula Odochi?
Yep.
How you doing? Mr. Scott Sharon?
Here.
And Mr. Jeet Kerr?
I think Gurjeet is here. Gurjeet's our student member.
It looks like Amina is on the call. She raised her hand in the
attendance. Okay,
great. Mm-hmm. Well, I will promote her to panelist. Let's see, I hope that works. Okay, I think it worked.
Oh, dear. I'm in. Thank you, Debra.
Thank you, Amina. Welcome. Turn this off. Okay. All right, so just as a brief recap as to why we are all here, if everybody doesn't know, last week at our general calendar meeting, a resolution was proposed that did not pass regarding school safety and the involvement with the NYPD. I abstained from that vote and proposed and vowed to come up with a resolution I felt was more complete and better for District 30. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that and why. I want to introduce this resolution by opening with a few words from Governor Cuomo, who recently discussed the need for leaders to address both change and specific action. He said, quote, "Start with a blank sheet of paper and come up with your vision for your public safety department in your community. What do you want it to be and what do you want it not to be? Put everybody at the table and answer the questions. What we have determined from this period of unrest and demonstration is that we need change. We need reform. Good. Second question, what change, what reform do you want and how do we do it? That's the intelligent progression of this moment toward action. And this moment without action is a wasted moment. How do you turn outrage into action? By coming up with a new policy and making it a reality. That starts with leadership on the local level. Somebody stand up and lead. Everyone says what they're against. Great. What are you for and how do we do it? That's the question." I read this to address why I personally abstained from the vote on the prior resolution. I agree with the governor that we need to know what we're for, not just what we're against. I did not and do not think it is ethical to recommend handing over millions of dollars and an entire department to the DOE without a plan or at least a recommendation for a plan. Further, it's not enough to ask for school policing to simply change bosses. It's still policing. We need to be specific about what we're asking for. The previous resolution had the why, but I believe this resolution adds the how with actionable, measurable steps for which the DOE and district can remain accountable. On the substance of the resolution, last week the PEP passed a similar resolution to end the Memorandum of Understanding with the NYPD. Panel member Deborah Dillingham from Queens said the following, referencing the move from the NYPD to the DOE. Quote, "This is a return to a system which puts control in the hands of those overseeing our students on a day-to-day basis, those responsible for creating an educational and social-emotional landscape that makes children want to come to school. When the boss isn't someone who sits in the building with the students being serviced, the directives and objectives from above often can't account for the individual and unique circumstances that take place on a daily basis. As most of us know, the person who students, parents, faculty, and staff see when they first enter our school is the safety agent. This person is one of the most important people in the school, in that the safety agent knows if a student comes to school regularly, if a student makes it to class on time, if a student is crying in the bathroom, if a student is experimenting in the schoolyard, and the list goes on and on. And because of this knowledge, the role the safety agent plays is key to the functioning of the family community in every school. We are proposing not to displace safety agents, but rather to reposition them within the school family. This is about solidifying the school community under the umbrella of the DOE, where directives can match policy and where protocols can match school philosophy. Now more than ever, children's social emotional well-being is at risk. It is the charge of the DOE to put emotional health at the forefront. The expectation is to initiate a new relationship, one embedded in wellness." I couldn't agree more. Lastly, I want to say something about process and why I believe it is so important. CEC members are elected by the parents of District 30, and therefore it is our mandate to adequately and accurately represent them as best we can. Last week was the very first time we'd engaged the community on this issue and received about 15 parent responses in person or via email. I commend the parents who took the time to share their opinions, which did carry weight, but I did not feel we had done adequate outreach on a topic brand new to our council and families. I also, around the same time, observed CEC 28 devising and socializing a survey of their parents in their district that returned 1,845 responses from parents. We can do better as a council. To that end, I asked Dr. Composto to reach out to every District 30 principal. Initially, I had wanted to reach out solely to those schools and parents who had a disproportionate number of Black and Latinx families. So I sat down with the demographics of our district and I looked to see which schools had a higher percentage of Black and Latinx students. And as it turns out, that is all but one of our schools. So rather than exclude that one school, Dr. Composto reached out to every District 30 principal. Holy cow, someone's trying to reach me. I'm so sorry. I don't know how to turn this off. Okay, sorry about that. We reached out to every District 30 principal and asked that they engage with their SLTs and PTA leaders on this issue in advance of tonight's meeting and to share out the results. He graciously agreed, and because our principals are amazing, we received feedback already from 11 schools in under a week. Thank you to Dr. Composto and all the principals and parents who took the time in such a chaotic time to help us properly represent the district. Now I'd like to read the resolution into the record. Based on some feedback, I have a couple of changes to propose, but I will read it in its original form first, and I will put it on the screen if I can. All right. Okay, I hope everybody can see this. Resolution in support of rehoming, redefining, and reimagining the role of safety agents in District 30 public schools. Whereas the New York City Department of Education, DOE, is responsible for all interactions between students and adults in our school buildings in order to promote a positive school climate and ensure the safety of our students. And whereas the Community Education Council for District 30, CEC 30, believes that our public education system necessitates a school environment in which conflicts are de-escalated and students are provided developmentally appropriate and fair consequences for misbehavior that address the root causes of their misbehavior while minimizing the loss of instructional time. Whereas recent actions of officers in the New York Police Department, NYPD, and its history of disparate policing based on zip code and racial demographics run afoul of the DOE's vision of equity and excellence for all. And whereas research does not support that police presence in schools make them safer, but shows police interactions can bring unintended consequences for students and can contribute to a climate of fear counter to the creation and maintenance of a productive learning environment. And whereas the appearance of police officers in schools may impose a climate of fear and intimidation in school communities, especially among Black and Latinx students, and that climate inhibits schools from providing a nurturing, inspiring, and rigorous learning experience. And whereas the fiscal 2021 preliminary budget excludes $1.3 million for restorative justice and $1.8 million for social emotional supports. And whereas CEC 30 believes that no child should feel criminalized nor unsafe in school, and whereas members of the school communities collectively create a safe environment utilizing existing infrastructure that promotes overall school safety through building level school safety plans pursuant to Chancellor's Regulation A414 and A412, of which the NYPD recruited, trained, managed, and evaluated safety agents are not accountable to the DOE. And whereas individual members of the District 30 school safety agent workforce are often beloved trusted members of many school communities, and whereas historically major policy changes regarding New York City schools are not implemented without significant community input, Whereas on June 16th, 2020, CEC 30 heard public comment on this issue and took additional time to engage all District 30 schools via their principals, SLTs, and PTAs, and the overall majority of responses favored moving school safety agents under the auspices of the DOE. And whereas CEC 30 believes it has a responsibility to provide not just reactive, but proactive policy recommendations as it represents its families. And whereas, by example, the Minneapolis Board of Education voted to terminate its contract with the police department for school resource officers and simultaneously engaged a task force to develop a revised school security plan, and the Minneapolis superintendent must present a new student safety plan to the school board by August 2020 that includes retrained security officers. Therefore, be it resolved, based on community feedback, that the Community Education Council for District 30 recommends the DOE's termination of its Memorandum of Understanding with the NYPD, and that the governance and accountability of school safety agents be immediately moved from the NYPD to the DOE concurrent with the recommendations below. And be it further resolved, recommends that concurrent with the recommendation above, the DOE immediately convene a school climate and safety task force to reimagine the current system of school safety. This task force shall include educators, parents, and experts on both school safety and restorative justice. Within 3 months of its convening, the task force shall report its findings and recommendations to the mayor, chancellor, and public. Community feedback sessions shall immediately follow the publication of the task force recommendations. The DOE shall implement a new plan for school safety and climate codified in chancellor's regulations no later than 6 months from the convening of the task force. Be it further resolved that if the DOE opts to take no action on this issue and or in addition to any citywide action, CEC 30 recommends the following district-specific changes to be implemented in District 30. One, the DOE and or District 30 shall rename the school safety officer position as school resource agent. Require every school's safety team to complete and discuss the checklist recommended on the website End Zero Tolerance, Combating the School to Prison Pipeline, and share the results with their school communities. Two, all D30 principals shall convene a meeting of their entire school community devoted to reimagining and redefining the role of the school resource agent in their school. This meeting shall take place by the end of calendar year 2020. Three, the superintendent shall ask every District 30 school to submit to the district leadership team a reimagined plan for school safety and climate based on specific feedback received from their respective school communities, including but not limited to the newly defined role of the school resource agent. School safety teams shall discuss repositioning school resource agents' physical posts within school buildings away from the entrance, with entry to and egress from the building monitored instead by a member of the school's staff. School resource agent uniforms shall not be NYPD issued, nor shall they be recognizable as law enforcement uniforms. School resource agents shall not be involved in the enforcement of school-based rules. Disciplining students shall be the responsibility of non-school resource agent school staff. Designated school staff may request their school resource agent's assistance only as a last resort when one, required by law, two, as appropriate to address or prevent actual criminal conduct, or three, there is a real and immediate physical threat to a student, teacher, or public safety. Seven, and any school resource agent who has contact with students shall first receive the requisite training on how to work with youth, especially and specifically children with special needs and children from high risk or high need backgrounds, and receive additional regular anti-bias training. Eight, each school's safety plan shall enact a specific strategy to combat school SRAs having disproportionately more contact with vulnerable student populations. To the extent that SRA contact with students is disproportionately with vulnerable student populations, the school's safety team shall set actionable goals for reducing the disparities and develop a measurable action plan to reach such goals. Nine, District 30 shall identify any services or resources that are needed from the community to support students who have experienced multiple SRA contacts and to reduce such contacts. 10, the District 30 superintendent shall keep a log of all complaints received by her or his office with regard to school resource agents and make that data available to the public on demand to the extent allowable by law. That is the resolution. I'm going to stop sharing my screen. All right. So I think I have made my thoughts on this clear. So I would like to now open the floor to council members who have any thoughts, comments, concerns, questions? Nobody.
Okay, I will. I'll okay. speak. Thank you, Deb. I really hope that we can pass this resolution tonight. I think, you know, in essence, I think as you've kind of gestured, it's the bottom line is pretty much the same as it was in our resolution last week. And I think that bottom line is a very important message to send to the mayor and to the DOE. That said, I do have a few comments. The first one, the first, I guess, is a question. So you had said that you got 10 responses from 10 schools. We received 4 comments from 4 people, 4 SLT members, over email from you, from the SLT, from SLTs, or from parents. Could you share the other responses?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Dr. Composto has them in a big long. I have it. I was going to read them out for the public.
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. So I just want to say, I mean, we heard from many more people who were not District 30 parents last week. And most of the community input, many of those people were community members. Many of them were former students. Many of them were educators. They were involved with schools. They had seen, they had on the ground experience with their family or with schools. And most of the community input that we've heard on this resolution and the last resolution came last week in the form of emails and comments at our meeting. Now, you know, we'll receive a lot more tonight, and I'm looking very much forward to hearing it. But even all of these comments are not enough. All of us and the DOE should be doing much more to understand the perspectives of those parents and students who do not show up at these meetings, who do not write us email, who aren't on Facebook, because we will never get truly representative input. Getting community input should be only one part, a very important part, but one part of how we make decisions. We need to listen to organizations and advocates who have been working on these issues for a long time. And there are many of those organizations, and some of them showed up at last meeting, and I hope we'll speak at this meeting as well. So I just want to say that about community input. I think that we need to listen to people who show up. We should absolutely be asking them how they're connected to our schools and our district. But our parents are not the only, the parents who show up should not receive the only priority in our decision-making process.
Totally agree. Agree partially. I think that's why we surveyed all of our schools. We didn't have a ton of time on this. So we've heard from 11 schools. There's a lot of feedback in there. One school developed a pie chart for us. Our parents and our schools, our educators are want to give us this feedback. And while I think supplementary input is important and valuable to help us make decisions, ultimately our responsibility is to the parents. So I think all of it can be incorporated, but when we heard from people last time, but 15 of them were parents. And if the parents are those who we represent, then we're not being representatives.
So I will disagree with you. I think ultimately our responsibility is to the students of District 30. And so I think that our responsibility is to do what is best for the students of District 30. And we have a special, I think, secondary responsibility to listen to and gather as much feedback from parents as possible. But I think our primary responsibility is to the students. Okay, so on the first, be it resolved, I just want to say,
before you get into nitty gritty, can I just comment on like the general parts of it?
Sure.
So look, as you know, I am all for removing the NYPD out of the school systems. I commented on it last meeting. I've been bringing this up for years now. This is not a new issue for educators. We've been talking about this for years. I confronted the chancellor over a year ago about this. at Tweed, and I was horrified at his strong support for having the NYPD in the schools. I think it was misguided. As I've said many of times, the biggest safety issue in our local public schools has always been traffic safety, and school safety officers are not equipped to handle those issues. And I do think that just the fact that they're wearing NYPD, you know, police uniforms causes many issues in our schools, especially in our immigrant neighborhoods who are nervous about interacting with these officers, just because of the current fears of deportation in our neighborhood. I also think that some students just have a negative perception of the uniform itself, especially given all the police brutality seen in the media. But the main reason I think this is a problem is that the schools have to be about education, and all the decisions should be made by the educator in the building, which I think is a principal, and that the focus should be about the children's education, and therefore, whoever is responsible for who comes to the door should report to the principal. But I think my key thing that I guess disagree with this new resolution, I'm for the concept, is that one, I think our duty is not only to the students, not only to the parents, but to the community. And that it's not our job when we pass a resolution to outline exactly how to do this. As you guys know, when I had this last meeting, I have a plan, I think, how we should do this. I've said it before, that we should allow our school safety officers to choose a path, either a path to rejoin the NYPD, or a path to become trained in guidance counselors, or social workers in the school. But I don't think it's our position in the CEC to outline in detail how they should do it. We are one of many CECs. As we all know, the Department of Education is going to go through a whole process when this happens. I think the purpose of this resolution is the big idea. And the big idea is that our principal should be in charge of the school, and however that principal wants to deal with this, that they should be the person in charge of not only the safety, but also where this funding of this employee goes. Whether it should be a school safety officer kind of person who's manning a door, or more of a guidance counselor. But it's not our position to give these details. And I think that it's kind of misguided. The other resolution was more broad and vague. This one is very specific. I think the message should be simple. And that is that as we as a council don't think the NYPD should be in our schools, and that funding should be transferred to the Department of Education. And if you want to kind of say that we want them generally to be more people dealing with restorative justice practice, people being guidance counselors, social workers, I get that. But the fact that we're saying exactly how it should be done is silly, because there's 32 different councils running this. It's not about what our specific idea is how to do this. It's about the general idea. And that's right.
I'm not sure you understood the resolution then, because the only message to the DOE was to create a task force. The specifics were specific for District 30 if and when the DOE doesn't act. The only direction and directive to the DOE was to create a safety and wellness task force that was taking community input and coming out with recommendations in 3 months. Everything else they can figure out. But for District 30, and even the District 30 recommendations are very broad. They talk about engaging very broadly with their own schools, because as you say, each school might want a different thing. So they're not very specific. They are just directives, because you have a lot of faith in the DOE that you just want to say, here's $18 million, do with it what you want, especially to a guy who didn't want to do this in the first place. So I just feel like it's more responsible to say, here's what we want in the end. Figure out how you get there, but this is at least where we want to see it go.
Right, and I just think that we're going to be one of 32 different districts passing different resolutions, that it's the key here is the broad notion that we want the NYPD out, and that money transferred to the DOE, and that we want the power into the educator in the building, which would be the principal. So I'll let Jonathan go into specifics.
Yeah. So it's not just the nitty gritty, actually, but it's a mixture. So let me, in the first be it resolved, it's on the same topic, but it's a little bit different. Based on community feedback, is redundant with a lot of the whereas, but it also doesn't fit in grammatically. Therefore, be it resolved based on community feedback. I guess it does fit in grammatically. Anyway, it seems redundant. we're hammering that point over and over again, which is doesn't sound great. I like the addition of a task force. I think, you know, if we want to talk about, you know, recommending action, recommending a task force is absolutely the right step. That task force needs to be representative, and it needs to have the expertise of not only educators, parents, and experts, as you said, but I think it needs to also have students on it. High school students would be essential parts of that task force. So I'd like to propose that we add that in.
Absolutely.
So a comment on the term school resource officer. So outside of New York City, the most common name for what we call school safety agents is school resource officer. You called it school resource agent. Normally, that position is exactly what we have with a school safety agent. And so people are used to thinking that school resource officer is really just a police officer in the school. So I would like that, you know, if we come up with a new name, I would like it to be a new name that doesn't have the resonances that of years and years of calling police officers in schools school resource agents or officers. I think it should be something new. Better yet, let's let a task force come up with an appropriate name for what these people are. And my high level comment stemming from that is about just kind of like the structure of this resolution or the new parts of it, which is that either these people report to the NYPD as they do now, in which case none of these recommendations are possible. We don't have any control over the school safety agents if they are still under the auspices of the NYPD. So all of this, you know, the number 1 through 9 at the end, if they don't transfer the school safety agents to the DOE, none of this is possible.
Much of it is possible. Much of it doesn't have to do, it has to do with the schools, just like number 2 or number 3.
Okay, then, I mean, I don't want to get into details, but a lot of it is not possible. So, or the mayor moves the school safety to the DOE, in which case, I agree, let's form a task force that can then make, you know, make informed recommendations of their own, in which case I don't want us to be the ones making these recommendations. I want the task force to do it. And you know what? Even if we can make changes at a district level, let's make a district task force to do that. Let's not make, I mean, who are we? I mean, I've done, and I know you have too, we've both done a lot of research on this topic over the past few weeks. To really try to be as informed as possible. And we've talked to people, we've talked to parents, we've talked to community organizations, but I'm still so far from the one who should be making these kind of detailed recommendations. Even if I agree with every one of them, I don't have the confidence that these are the right recommendations, which is why I think we should recommend, and this is the action, you know, the Governor Cuomo action. Form a task force, and as you said, make sure that they need to report to the city or the chancellor by a certain time, and there needs to be action.
Totally hear what you're saying, but I think most of these are aspirational rather than telling someone what to do. Like, if you look at them, so first of all, I did change a couple. I told you I read the original, but like the school safety post, you know, something that's not something we can do without actually changing their job description, which would require the union and the whoever the agency was to sign off on that. So that's not actually something we can do. So I changed that language to say with the understanding that they would have to do this. But there is a lot that they can do that doesn't violate their union. Like you can ask them to wear something, you know, you can ask them to change what their position is, where they sit in the school. They don't necessarily have to sit in front of the building. That's the principal's decision where they sit. Just like when the safety agent goes to lunch, they have the school aide there. Like it's not necessary. The fact that number 2 is that the principal shall convene a meeting of their entire school community to reimagine the role of this. Like, that's something a school can do. And I think that that's an aspirational thing that we can suggest. Having all of the school data available. And in fact, I changed based on something Melissa said in the email Melissa Lertzman said. She said that we should be proactive about sharing out that data rather than just having it be available on demand. So I changed that to sharing it out quarterly at CEC meetings. There's lots of things here that I think are very, very good ideas. Ultimately, they are recommendations. We don't have the power to do any of this, but they are recommendations. And I think if we're recommending an idea, we can recommend a practice. No one has to listen to us, but I don't see the difference between recommending an idea and recommending an ideal, which I think I'm happy with the ideals that are mentioned here, between all kinds.
With all due respect, I do not think that what the governor was recommending was that our action is aspirational. I think that the governor was saying that we need to act and find ways to do things that actually can then happen. Even if they are gonna take a lot of political will, even if they're gonna take a lot of money, this just doesn't, you know, if we don't get the NYPD out of the school safety agents out of the NYPD, most of this stuff, you can aspire to it, but it's not gonna happen.
It's so not true. Most of this is in the district control. You know, like Dr. Composto, just like he asked the principals to talk to their SLTs about this, we can go to the DLT and say, just like when every SLT is responsible for sending their CEP to the DLT, they could easily tack on a safety plan. Like, these are all very, very low level, manageable ideal. Not, I don't mean aspirational, like they could never happen. I mean, these are goals that we're setting. We can't force them to happen. But I also just don't see the harm. Like, what's the downside?
The downside is that we are not the ones to be making these even aspirations. If you think a task force is right for the city, then a task force should be right for District 30.
I disagree. I think we have special knowledge of District 30, and recommending that schools meet with their safety teams and discuss the safety agent is a totally actionable, totally reasonable thing to do. And then we can hear reports on how that goes. And that helps us do our jobs. It helps parents be more clued into what's happening with safety in their school. And it's not something, an outlandish request or something that anyone really has to sign off on. It's just a good recommendation. It's good practice to do, to keep this conversation going within our school communities, not just at the CEC level. So I, you know, if we can recommend an idea, these are also ideas.
I'd love to hear.
You know, we're also thinking about, you know, our priority are the kids, our priority are the community, is the community. But then when you speak to the leaders on the ground, the principals, they have to be involved in this too, because they are the leaders, and they're going to have we're trying to pass something that it'll be feasible and actually workable. So that idea of a task force, the idea of working together to find a better solution with all the parties involved, I think is the best bet. But I think what we all agree on is that the time to make this kind of proposal, the time to make this type of decision is now. So let's start with something that, I mean, there's finite. There's things that put for in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, so that real action can be initiated, and we can't fall back to the way things were or the way things have always been and just forget about this moment, that we could actually do something constructive and have the timetable that we can go back and make sure that things are being executed in a certain manner.
Thanks, Rob. Anyone else?
Hi, everyone. And what I see over here, that's the resolution that we did last time. It was for taking the NYPD, like the safety from like the NYPD to the DOE. Let's stay with that, like, big picture to agree to pass this resolution. I agree to most of like the suggestion that Deborah, she suggests. Last time we spoke about like the uniform, we can consider, like, for example, the name as one of the details, but it shouldn't be a problem or like a situation where we need like to discuss it now until like there is an agreement to move like the safety agents from the NYPD to the DOE. So let's stay with that idea first, and those details we can discuss it like another time. And it might be also an idea, and we're not just representing students, we're representing parents, we're representing the community in general. So those are ideas. It might be a good thing, it might be not work later, but let's just like get to an agreement to pass this resolution.
Thanks, Fatima. Anybody else?
I mean, it's kind of open who would actually be on the task force. You know, that's even on our district level. I mean, that's an interesting conversation as well.
Yeah. All right. If anyone else wants to chime in from the council, you still can have an opportunity. But let's hear from our public. So, if we have any students in the audience, if you put, I don't see anyone in the Q&A, so I don't think we have any students. So if you'd like to make a comment right now, you have 2 minutes to do so. Please raise your hand. If you don't know how to raise your hand, just type it in the chat. We can tell you how.
We have one person who raised their hand, Deb.
Oh, I'm back. Yeah, attendees.
Don't believe that they're a student. So
our students, yeah. I was just in panelists. Okay. Marilyn Mendoza, you are unmuted and have 2 minutes. Go.
Hi. Thank you all for making this meeting happen. So as many know already, I am a community member of here in Corona. But also I work with Make the Road New York, and we read over this resolution, and we honestly feel like this isn't what we need. We are adamantly against this plan. This is not what we mean by police-free schools, and it does not honor what young people and communities of colors have been calling for decades. Police do not belong in schools, not in NYC, not in Chicago, not in Portland, or anywhere else. No amount of training or reforms can shift the oppressive policing infrastructure that has taken decades to build or address the systemic injustices built into the system and embedded in the role of a police officer. Such initiatives in police and education departments have tried to no avail. The only solution is abolition. Additionally, transferring the school safety agents to another department will not reduce the cost of school policing, which is nearly $500 million projected for this fiscal year. Indeed, the transfer and training may increase the cost with no change experienced in the lives of young people. In the time of a budget crisis, ongoing pandemic, and social upheaval, a failure to divest in the policing of youth is not only morally indefensible, but actively harmful when those funds could go towards mental health staff, nurses, and supportive funding for young people. And I know that Make the Road New York would be more than happy to work with the CEC in helping you guys figure out what the next move is into creating a safe community in our schools. Because we've already been working on this, and we already know what that future looks like for our children, what that safety looks like without cops in our schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Any other speakers? Raise your hand. I'm gonna turn a light on, sorry. Okay, we have a speaker, Jamie.
Wait, Deb, can you just make it clear that it's open to all speakers now? Because I'm not sure that was
okay.
Clear, not just.
Yes, any speaker in the public, raise your hand. Jamie, you should be unmuted.
Hi, thank you. I'm Jamie. I've got a daughter in PS 149 and a son who is about to start UPK, I hope. we shall see with COVID. But I just want to be another voice echoing. So I agree with everything Marilyn said. I'm not going to repeat it. But I think what was frustrating about this is that, A, the PEP vote already puts in an outline of a process to get the police out of the school, from what I can see. I don't know who on this panel is an expert in this. So groups like Make the Road, Drum, Queens Community House. I mean, there's 1,000 groups in our neighborhood that are working with youth in the schools that can give you solid ideas if you need them. But as, again, just to echo what Marilyn said, the Black and Brown communities have been leading this for years. So there's really good ideas out there. So we don't, this panel doesn't need to invent it. So I agree that the recommendation should be broad, or echo what the PEP vote said, because the groups seem to be happy with that. I'll let Marilyn and others speak to that. I don't know why we're starting something new with a new task force locally. I don't think that this group is, I don't think District 30 is any different than any other district, what the students are facing. This is nothing new. They've been facing it for years, and it's not any different here. And the principals have the same biases as teachers do. There's actually a great department in the Department of Education to work on anti-bias training for teachers and for staff. But the idea is to get the police out of the school, period. It is not the job of this panel to figure out the rest. There's people that have been doing this and organizations. So, and as Marilyn says here, an entire coalition, thank you, Urban Youth Collaborative. So listen to them. They have really good solutions. I don't have the answers, but neither do you guys, and that's fine. But there's people that do. So I don't support the I don't support the resolution as it is here.
Thank you, Jamie. Just to clarify, we don't give any recommendations other than schools should talk to each other. The only recommendations are that school communities figure out what's best for their school community by talking and creating safety plans on their own. But this resolution doesn't claim to know how to do it or say how to do it. They are just suggestions of talking to one another, and the larger picture is a citywide task force to figure that all out. But yeah, the resolution doesn't really advocate for any the specifics in there were some suggestions based on feedback we received about perception of officers at the front gate, about uniforms, things like that that we heard. So it just incorporated the feedback that we got from parents in the district. I see more hands. Leah Grossman, you are unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. I hear you, Leah.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I'm a parent of a student at PS 212 and a teacher at Hunters Point Community Middle School. I just wanted to go on record, you know, for numbers sake, that you hear that as a parent, I do also want the NYPD out of our District 30 schools, and as a teacher as well. I also am really curious as to the feedback you're getting from the specific schools, and am looking forward to hearing that. Last week there was some discussion about whether families and students even realized that that the school safety agents were in fact NYPD. And I think that there's an entirely different experience between elementary school students and families and middle school students and high school students in our district. And so I also want to just second Jonathan's point that we are in this for our students and their safety and their well-being as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah. All right, Elmadi, where's your last name? I lost you. No.
Yeah, hello.
Oh, hi, there you are.
Hey, how's it going? I've been listening to you guys, and I think it's great that you guys are like doing this, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you got to do something. So for the people that are nitpicking and being like, oh, well, we don't have the authority to do this, or we don't have the authority to do that, or we're not smart enough to do this and we need experts and what have you. Look, I think if anybody who went to school here in New York City, I did, you know the police are bad. They've been bad for 20 something years. They murder people. They do all kinds of bad stuff. The CCRB are powerless to stop them. And you want them around your kids? I mean, next thing you're going to want to have child molesters babysitting your kids. That's what you're doing when you have the NYPD interacting with your kids. The NYPD is a cancer. I mean, I can't state this any other way, as they currently operate. Now, I have friends who are captains in the police department. They're beautiful people. Individually, they're great. But the culture is broken, and it's broken by a number of reasons. We passed a resolution in the citywide English language learner council just last week. Our resolution was very vague. It was basically, hey, let's hold the police accountable. You know, at our next meeting, we're planning on, you know, passing another resolution that gets into the details. And I completely agree with the very first woman that talked about this, about, you know, how police are just bad. You don't want them around your kids. Anybody who wants police around their kids, I don't know what you have for brains. I feel sorry for you. I mean, they murder people. I can't put it any other way. God bless, guys.
Thanks so much. I don't see any other hands. Nope. Amy Goldman, you are unmuted.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm a principal in District 30. I have the honor and privilege. And I just have to say, the time right now is very sensitive. We're all in an area of pain. We're all in an area of trying to heal. And now is a very hard time to make resolutions that can affect the system or systemic decisions at a time of pain. There's a lot of good and a lot of bad in everything. And I think before our decisions are made, I think we have to look at, you know, the positives as well, because we could highlight the negative, but at the same time, we should also take a look at all the good that's done as well. And I know personally that for PS2, I can speak for our SLT. We did have this conversation. We did say that it is really important to know that we have someone when people come in that can screen, that we have someone that, you know, we can count on that if there is an issue, can call for help for us. They have participated in many school functions and we appreciate their service. And it's just something that, you know, I think everyone has to consider good with bad. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for coming, Amy.
Thank you.
Hello? I'm not able to hear the audio.
Right, Deb is muted. Deb, you're muted now.
Sorry, you're unmuted, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Laura Simpson. I'm a parent from District 30. I am a parent of a 16-month-old, but myself and my son, we're Black, and the reason why I'm so engaged so early when we're still dealing with daycare issues is because I know that systemic issues cannot be overturned overnight. And that my greatest hope is to remove the NYPD from the schools of District 30 before he enters as a student. I attended last week's CAC meeting with my husband. And this week I felt compelled to speak to urge forward motion, and I understand that making change is difficult, and I'm hearing your arguments and you're discussing it and really thoughtfully looking at how you can affect this change, but ultimately I urge you to make that forward motion and to take those first steps, because I think that it's one of the toughest parts of addressing a long-standing issue is that often the good is bogged down by chasing perfect. And for And there are sometimes unintended consequences. So I'm not saying that that's not something I'm concerned about, but ultimately being able to say, okay, we are breaking ties with the NYPD. We're not going to allow them in our schools. We're not going to allow them to impact our children anymore. That's the most important first step, at least for me as a parent. So I want to thank you for your time. And I know you're wrestling with these issues, but I definitely urge action over inaction. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for coming both weeks. We appreciate it. Jill Kaufman, you are unmuted.
Thank you. I'm a social worker in the DOE, and I also have two kids in District 30. I want to say, similar to the last speaker, I just urge you to take the step to remove the NYPD from the schools. I think what we need right now is restorative justice, and we need people who are trained in de-escalation, and we don't need NYPD in the schools. However, that can happen. I think we have smart, capable people, and we can bring in people from the community, and we can make it happen. But I think I agree. I urge you to take the first step in just saying enough is enough, and the DOE can handle justice and de-escalation in the schools.
Thank you, Jill. Any other speakers from the public? Any other council members want to say anything before? Hold on, I see more hands, but I also want to go and see, Gail, is there anyone on the phone?
No,
no one on the phone. Okay. Well, I see two more speakers. Lily Arkin, you're unmuted.
Thank you. So I am a resident of District 30, and I am a restorative justice practitioner. I spoke at the last meeting to support the resolution there. I completely agree with the speakers that say we just need to get the police out of the schools. I really supported the last one because it was so clear and so specific. And I came to support this one also because I feel like we need action. But I am a little concerned hearing from some of the other members who are knowledgeable about this issue, like Marilyn, who have concern for this. I mean, I want to see something pass that says we want the police out. I think everybody is saying that now. And so however that happens, strongly and clearly, that's what I would support.
Thank you. I just see a last name here, Papadopoulos, but you are unmuted.
Hi, hello, good evening. My name is Maria Papadopoulos. I'm SLT member at PS 122. And they have two kids, kindergartner and incoming second grader. I just wanted to urge to pass this resolution. We cannot ignore the voices of people of color. And I as well understand that the schools are different. The needs that elementary school has is totally different from the needs of the high school. Thus, it would be very beneficial for the schools to have autonomy to decide what kind of support they need. But the bottom line is this resolution should be passed. And thank you for your hard work and all the input. I really appreciate the suggestions and recommendations because we did not have an SLT meeting to discuss this yet, but I think that would be a very good stepping stone for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay, if we see more hands later, but we can go back, but I see a lot of people wanting to hear from the feedback we got from schools. So I'm gonna go down the line and just read out what we got back from the principals. So this is from Principal Williams at IS 141. This is a school in Astoria. She writes, "We held our last SLT meeting yesterday. I shared the questions and thoughts with the group. Please see below for a summary of responses. Here are some of the comments made during the SLT meeting regarding whether safety agents should be under the auspices of the NYPD or the DOE. Question one, who will train safety agents if under DOE? Remain with NYPD, but give more de-escalation training, especially for ED students. Most of our safety agents don't act like NYPD. Personality plays a role. They get to know the kids and are a part of the school. Would shifting funding to DOE decrease funds for schools? If so, stay with NYPD. Compared to before 1998, when agents were with DOE, NYPD does a better job at training them. Agents must remain in school. Removing them altogether should not even be an option." The next is Principal Britton at PS 384. "Good morning, Dr. Composter. Please see the feedback below. If you would like me to send it directly, I can do that. Our PTA Vice President, Ms. Donnie Marr, requested that I share her feedback with you. PTA Treasurer says, I am fine with school security being kept as is with NYPD. PTA Vice President Danny Marr says, Hi, Ms. Britton. I was planning on writing to you after this week's meeting. I attended this week's CEC meeting and also spoke up. I am highly against terminating the NYPD contract right now. I think that to make this decision during a pandemic and not getting more parents' opinions on this is so wrong. This is not some academic program they are trying to defund. It's school safety, and they have absolutely no solution if they terminate it. They just want to follow the trend right now, but these are our children and not a social experiment. Our school safety officer is amazing and has been nothing but welcoming, professional, and warm towards our school family. I prefer to keep the NYPD contract. Also, most private security officers are usually off-duty police officers. The problem is not the NYPD, it is the guidelines that would need to be adjusted as a solution. It was stated that they wanted to put the decision on the principal's shoulders. Where would the school get the money to add another salaried person? So far, the DOE nor chancellor have made no promise that if this contract is terminated, that we would actually receive the money in its place. It's been a mass assumption by people, not officials. How would principals make this decision, and what happens when this causes more strife among the parent body? What happens with schools that share a building with offices? If we truly want to build a stronger community and relationship for our children with the NYPD, the best thing we could possibly do is ensure positive experiences at a young age. As I stated before, I have always had a positive experience with our school safety officer. Lastly, I truly appreciate you reaching out. To be very honest, I have not felt very comfortable nor safe sharing my opinion openly, as it is generally met with negativity. As a Black woman with two mixed boys, for some reason, society is telling me that I need to feel negatively toward the NYPD. I disagree wholeheartedly. How many other families are too scared to speak up against this because they do not want to be labeled? There has to be a safe space for parents to give their true opinions on this dangerous decision. A CEC meeting where they are forced to speak out loud after hearing other people name call and generalize entire populations is not that space. My family and the PTA have a strong relationship with our local precinct 108, who regularly provides support within the community and with any fundraising initiative we host in the neighborhood. For these reasons, I firmly believe we should ensure our contract with the NYPD continues indefinitely and that we humanize people and populations versus spreading negative biases." And there was another one from 384Q. She wished to remain anonymous. "My answer is to keep the NYPD officers at PS 384Q. I can speak personally for my family. We have all had positive experiences. I also appreciate that the CEC is reaching out to PTAs and SLTs. However, this is a much bigger, complex decision that all families and students of District 30 should have a say in. Making a crucial decision like this during a global pandemic is just wrong. Having a Zoom meeting is not enough. All parents should be given the opportunity to voice their opinion. Families and students should be able to speak in a safe environment and remain anonymous if they choose to do so. Asking to announce their names at a Zoom meeting is not the way to go. Families should be able to place their opinion decision in an anonymous manner." The next school is Principal Vasquez, PS 69. "Below is a summary of answers from six of our SLT members, including parents and teachers and admin. How does the school administration," and this is PS 69 in Jackson Heights. "How does the school administration feel about school safety agents in general, not their specific agents? Answer, agents are an asset to the school. They provide safety and security to the school community. What changes, if any, would they like to see? No changes, providing coverages, perhaps by having two agents for lunch would be ideal as we have limited resources in the school building. Would they prefer safety agents were under the auspices of the DOE versus the NYPD? Answer, NYPD. Next, Principal Witkes from PS 112, Dutch Kills School. This is in Ravenswood, Long Island City area. A teacher on the SLT says, I think we should keep the school safety officers under the NYPD. Parent on the SLT and PTA says, I am very much opposed to having the NYPD in schools. I believe school safety should be handled by the DOE to allow for more control over trainings and hiring. I also think the budget should be decided by schools as each school is different and might have different needs. In addition, the NYPD has shown that they are trained for aggressive combat, not de-escalation, which is what we need in schools dealing with children. If we want to protect all children, we need to think about what the presence of police is doing to Black and Brown students in the district. Next, from Ms. Peña Jorge at PS 11. One response, safety should be left with the NYPD. Then we have Ms. Geller at PS 166. Here are the responses from a staff member on SLT. Safety agents used to belong to the DOE and it was pretty messy. There were many suspensions and arrests. When Giuliani came in, he took the agents and gave them to the NYPD. Since the NYPD took over, there is peace and a sense of community in our buildings. They just have the label. I feel they should stay as is. From a parent, I believe school safety agents should remain part of the NYPD. These agents are currently trained through the police academy to address internal issues and more importantly, external safety issues, trespassers, etc. Simply moving people from one department to another will not address potential issues some may have with particular officers. Additional training, changing roles slightly are all acceptable. However, the DOE does not have the tools, facilities to train officers to deal with potential deadly issues that may arise in the school. Additional community agents and guidance counselors should be utilized by the DOE to bring together a strong community and safe environment for all children. From another parent, thanks for giving us the chance to weigh in. I feel very strongly as a parent that police should not be in our schools. I understand the need to screen who can enter a school and to provide a responsible adult who acts as the check-in point at each school, but I feel strongly that this person should work under the auspices of the DOE, not the NYPD, and to be dressed in plain clothes, not a police uniform. The presence of a uniformed police officer sends the wrong message about the DOE's priorities in schools, potentially generates an anxious response in all kids, it has in my own, and potentially a traumatic response for Black and students and families of color who have a well-documented historical relationship of over-policing and suffering at the hands of police violence. I do not want any more of my tax dollars going to fund police in schools and would rather this money be spent on making sure every school has multiple counselors and psychologists and training for many different adults to work as school ambassadors, to greet visitors, de-escalate tension if it ever arises, help maintain order and welcome when parents or large groups of visitors, etc. I am grateful that the CEC and DOE are taking up this issue and I strongly support removing NYPD presence in our schools. We have PS2, Ms. Goldman. PS2 has surveyed our SLT and unanimously agree that we want school safety in our building. We trust them to keep us safe and watch who enters our building. Keeping them as part of the NYPD has worked very well these past few years. The DOE is not equipped to train and oversee another department. Sarah Goodman from IS-291, Hunters Point in Long Island City. We have had this discussion a number of times with SLT, so I can give you this feedback. How does the school administration feel about school safety agents in general? These are all the questions. We would prefer to have our agents under the DOE because it is extremely difficult to set consistent tone, expectations, professionalism, etc. when they do not report to you. We have been very lucky with our most recent agents and treat them like true partners who know and care for our students and staff, but it has been very hard when the level threes, etc. do not see eye to eye with us. Mr. Barata from PS 92 in Jackson Heights. Dear Dr. Compasto, since the construction of our addition, the SLT has been asking for an additional safety agent since we now have two sets of doors in our main entrance, too much for one agent. The request went out officially and I've been promised an extra agent, but there aren't any. I'm not pushing the point, but they've been asking. The fact that the agents are backed up by the NYPD is greatly appreciated and understood by our community. The agents have a direct line to the precinct. Our families and staff find this comforting. This is a statement, not a request. I hope this helps. Next, from Principal Zirin at IS-230Q in Jackson Heights. Our PTA brought this up at yesterday's SLT. President asked if school safety worked for NYPD. I informed her that they do. She stated that she is in favor of defunding the police, but does not want to see school safety impacted and feels they are important and beneficial. Personally, I would like to have better access to assignment planning and performance management, so likely I'm in favor of DOE control. Okay, those are our 11 schools. I also have comments that came in. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We have, I printed it out because there was a chart. From PS111 in Ravenswood, Long Island City, Ms. Jagan writes, she met with her SLT and she says that 71% communicated that school safety should remain under NYPD supervision. I wonder if I can get the pie chart up. I'll work on that when there's more. I see if I can get her pie chart up because it's a nice chart. But essentially, they were very much in favor of keeping NYPD supervision. So I don't know if anyone else wants to talk, and or I can continue on to the feedback we received by email from parents.
Can I just ask a couple Please. Of questions?
Yes.
So did you send, when you sent, or Dr. Composto sent requests for feedback from these schools, did you send this resolution along with it, or the previous resolution, or any indication of why this came up?
I'm not sure the context that Dr. Composto put it in. I don't know if he's still on the line, let me see. Just that they would talk about that there has been talk about moving the safety agents from NYPD to. They knew that we were discussing this, and this was a topic that we were discussing. But specific resolutions were not sent. No.
Correct.
I'll just say that I think that. You know, there's a reason why resolutions are written the way they are. They try to give the full context and the reasoning for what we're recommending. And so I think that I can't say that it would change anybody's what they would have responded, but I do think that giving some context as to why we were asking this, why this came up, possibly given different responses and might have been more responsible in terms of, you know, asking these questions rather than just simply, you know, in a vacuum.
Well, I think they understood. I mean, with everything that's going on, I don't think this was just a random request. Also, we were looking to get their responses to write the resolution. So there was no resolution for them to respond to in terms of, you know, and I didn't want to bias anyone one way or another as saying, here's what we're thinking of, what do you think? Just their feelings on the issue, which was a pretty specific issue, you know, about safety agents and the NYPD versus the DOE and that sort of thing. I would love that if we got responses from all our schools, the conversation.
Right. So the other thing is I'd like to get the responses, on paper, but I'd also like to get the questions or the survey. And did you write the questions? Like how was the survey written?
It wasn't a survey. It's asking Dr. Composto to ask them if they could have conversations with their SLTs and PTAs.
So when you read the responses, there were questions there as well. So were there questions that the principals or the SLTs came up with themselves?
I just have the responses, so I don't know. But I would like to read more responses from parents. All right. Helena Moy Bergen writes, I'm a District 30 mom. I support terminating the contract with the NYPD. We don't need police in our schools. We need counselors, better food, lunch food, arts. Please reconsider. This is from Catherine Solis, teacher. Dear Community Education Council for District 30, my name is Catherine Solis, and I am a full-time theater teacher at PS 17 Henry David Thoreau School. I am writing to express my disappointment in the choice to vote down Resolution 143. I feel very fortunate to work at a school with limited police presence. Currently, my school only has one security officer at a time. I am grateful our school does not have metal detectors. Our school performs regular lockdown drills, and we have had one shelter-in-place incident due to an altercation that took place outside the building. I firmly believe weapons or violence, which are often correlated with increased NYPD staff, do not have any business in a school. I cannot imagine what my school culture would look like with any increased police presence. However, I know this is not about the individuals, but about the system itself. I strongly believe the power to decide who is in our schools should lie with the school staff itself and not with the NYPD. This is why I am asking you to propose a new resolution that fully terminates NYPD contracts with District 30 schools. We cannot expect to be effective educators if we are upholding a system that negatively impacts Black and Brown students by putting them at a higher risk to be subjected to the school-to-prison pipeline. Therefore, I encourage you to reconsider your choice to vote down Resolution 143. I encourage you as an educator passionate about educational equity to create a new resolution that works to remove the police from our schools and put in place a more holistic and equitable learning environment. We have Rachel Bowder. Dear Community District Education Council 30, my name is Rachel Bowder, and I am mom to four-year-old Chloe.
Excuse me, Deborah, I am so sorry. This is an inquiry by the interpreter. Would you mind speaking a little bit slower, please?
Sorry. Yes. I had a feeling. I am mom to four-year-old Chloe Ashton. We live in Jackson Heights in Queens and are a part of District 30. She just graduated from her second year of preschool at 82nd Street Academics, and we recently received her acceptance letter to remain at 82nd Street for pre-K next year. I am writing to you today as a parent and constituent of District 30 in regards to resolution number 145 in support of rehoming, redefining, and reimagining the role of safety agents in District 30 public schools. As a parent, I am opposed to police presence at any NYC school. While I understand that there is a need for safety and security at all schools, and it is paramount that students and teachers feel safe and secure in order to achieve learning success, I am strongly against police presence as the solution. Removing police from our schools does not mean removing safety protocols. As outlined in Resolution 145, the goal is to replace police with a different presence that helps to nurture students instead of punishing them. Rather than having safety agents, we will have school resource agents. Rather than isolating and pushing out students who appear to create problems within a school, agents would be available to offer educational or counseling services. It creates a culture of support rather than a culture of fear, which is what I believe all children need to thrive. I fully support Resolution 145, and I look forward to seeing CEC 30 voice support for it tonight. Dear District 30 Council members, I am the parent of a New York City Department of Education student in District 30. I am writing to support the resolution to place school safety under the supervision of the Department of Education rather than the NYPD. I know that council members have expressed concern that they do not trust the DOE with the budget and responsibility for school safety. However, keeping school safety under the jurisdiction of the NYPD is a far more worrisome outcome. As others have noticed, and as I have seen in my child's school, most school safety officers carry out their jobs with the best interests of students and staff of the schools at heart. In order to ensure that all school safety officers are hired, trained, and supervised with a focus on this goal, they should be under the administration of a city agency that shares that goal, the Department of Education. While good and bad exist both within the DOE and the NYPD, the goal of the NYPD is policing and not educating. Our students need to be educated, not policed. I hope the District 30 CEC members will stand up for all students and educators in District 30 and the rest of the city by voting in favor of Resolution 145. That's from Gavin Healy. This is from Caroline Hong. Dear CDEC 30 members, as concerned parents of a student in District 30, we are writing in support of resolution number 145. We join a broader movement of parents and citizens across the city and the country who are protesting police presence in our schools and the ongoing criminalization and dehumanization of our children, especially kids of color. Research has shown that having police in our schools does not make them safer for our kids. In many cases, their presence actively endangers the most vulnerable students in our communities, namely Black and Brown children. We would rather invest in programs that are proven to work and build trust in community, programs that focus on mental health, restorative, transformative justice, and other positive methods of prevention and intervention. We hope you will do what's right and pass this resolution. Thank you very much for your tireless and courageous service to our district and our children. Okay, I think that is the last one. Just double check. Yep. Okay. Council members, anything left to say? I'm going to put on the screen. I had some changes to make. So I have a redlined version of the resolution. I'm going to share it. I sent this to everybody earlier. They're not major changes. Okay, so this one and this whereas clause, somebody had asked about making more specific the budgetary issues. So I made it a little more specific and changed this clause to say in the 6th, whereas that the DOE's current budget does not clearly prioritize the health and well-being of students, nor does it prioritize mental health programs, trauma-informed curriculum, culturally responsive education, tech access, food access, etc., when weighed against the budgetary scale of police funding. I had taken this language from the PEP resolution, but the point is well taken that maybe Beloved is not everybody's experience with their safety agent. So I think valuable is a better choice of words there, I agree. This is Jonathan's suggestion of adding students over there. This I added along with their CEP. It was just a more practical thought. I discussed this earlier that obviously this is something in number 4 that couldn't happen unless there were the safety agents were under the DOE auspices. In discussing how this works, I checked with Dr. Composto and he says that currently the norm is that safety agents do not get involved in the breaking of school rules. I still like keeping that just so, because I think it's important to say that they shouldn't be, and maybe not in our schools, but in other schools, officers are being asked to, you know, make sure there are hall passes being utilized or some other school rules, and they shouldn't. So I did want to add that while it's the district norm, everyone should be making sure that resource agents or safety officers shouldn't be doing any school rule-based policing of children. This was a very good point that we have. I defined vulnerable populations as low-income, multilingual learners, students of color, students with special needs, and students in temporary housing. We have some schools like our NEST ASD program or some schools just demographically that are the entire school group is that vulnerable population. So I just wanted to be more specific to say that if they have disproportionately more negative or punitive contact rather than contact, because sometimes that's just unavoidable based on the school.
Can I just suggest that we add to that LGBTQ
yes.
students as well?
Yes, absolutely.
And immigrant students as well.
Sure. And then finally, based on feedback, to be proactive about giving the data out as opposed to passive about it. So we would share out quarterly the data in the log that the superintendent would keep. So those are my changes. We have to vote on each one. Thoughts, everybody? It's already 9.
So I would like to propose another change, but I don't know how we want to do this. We could vote on each of Deb's changes first, and then I could propose my change afterwards, or I could propose it now. I don't know what you'd prefer, Deb.
I can't answer that based on not knowing what you want to propose.
Oh.
So. Let's hear it.
I already proposed it basically. And I think there were a number of speakers who agreed, agreed with it. But I would like to propose that we eliminate the last "be it further resolved." Obviously, Deb, I know you disagree with this. You wrote this, the last "be it further resolved" that has the district specific plan in it. I feel strongly that it is not our place to make this plan or these suggestions. And if we feel strongly about action, then we should demand a task force that has experts and stakeholders instead of making the recommendations ourselves. So
noted. I would just say to that, I would feel like that would be important for any resolution that we did, that we were not very specific in what our requests were. It's not our practice to not be specific. They are just ideas. They're not in stone. I've said my piece. I don't need to say anymore. Thoughts from anybody else? Jonathan, you can, so I suggest you make a motion for that and then see if you have a second and vote on it. If that passes, then we don't need to make all the little changes. So.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to eliminate the last "be it further resolved."
So from "be it further resolved" through number 10. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a second? All right. Then I will start with these changes. I don't want to have to go through them at each. Gail, are you sure that we cannot accept the motion as or I can say a motion to accept the changes as written? You're muted, Gail.
Well, technically you're supposed to do each change unless it's a minor word.
All right. So let's just blow through them. So I'm just going to, on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on the 6th whereas clause, I'm focused on it right here. Do I have a motion to accept these changes as written? Or I propose a motion to accept these changes as written. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Shannon, can you roll call everybody?
Yes.
Shannon Lee.
She was just there a moment ago, literally like a minute ago. Hey, Shannon? She was literally just there like 60 seconds ago.
Do you want to call it, do a roll call, Rob? Can you see everybody?
Sure. I don't mind. Okay, and for a roll call for the first mention that was mentioned, Deborah Alexander.
In favor.
Jonathan Greenberg.
In favor.
Shannon Lee, we'll get back to, hopefully. Nuala, if you can unmute and say whether you're in favor for the or opposed or abstain. In fact, Nuala, Amina, if you could start unmuting yourself. Is Nuala present? Amina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're in favor or opposing to the first edit?
In favor.
In favor, thank you.
Yes.
Fatima?
In favor.
In favor, thank you. Katrina?
In favor.
Thank you. Scott?
In favor.
That's Fatima. Who did I miss? Shannon, you're not back yourself. Yet, right? Yeah, Nuala?
In favor.
In favor, and Robert in favor. Shannon, right. We'll try to get back to you.
Well, it passes for sure. In the 7th, 8th, 9th, 9th whereas, the change from beloved to valuable, I'll make a motion to change.
Okay, second.
Thank you.
Deborah?
In favor.
Jonathan?
In favor.
Nuala?
In favor.
Thank you. Shannon? Oh, no, not yet. Amina?
In favor.
Thank you. Fatima?
In favor.
Katrina?
In favor.
Scott?
In favor.
Thank you. And Robert, in favor.
Thank you. Okay. In be it further resolved, we're going to add the word students. I'll make a motion to add the word student. Second.
I second.
Thank you. Rob, did we lose you? Uh-oh. Everyone's...
I muted myself. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, Deborah? Yes, in favor.
Deborah, are you in favor?
Yes.
Jonathan Greenberg?
In favor.
Thank you. Nuala O'Doherty?
In favor.
Thank you. Shannon, you're back? We'll get back to you. Amina?
In favor.
Let's finish this resolution, and I'll get back to you, Shannon. Fatima?
In favor.
Katrina?
In favor.
Hey, Scott?
In favor.
I'm in favor, Robert. Shannon, are you available now?
Yes, in favor.
Thank you.
I'm in favor, okay.
Okay, number three, the changes along with their CEPs, adding that language. I'll make a motion to add that language.
I'll second. Shannon, do you want to do the roll call?
You want to call a roll or let Rob keep going?
Oh, Mr. Rob can keep going. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, we'll just run through it. When you want to jump back, just let me know. Okay, Deborah Alexander?
In favor.
Jonathan?
In favor.
Nuala O'Doherty?
In favor.
Favor, thank you. Shannon?
In favor.
Thank you. Amina?
In favor.
Fatima?
In favor.
Thank you. Katrina?
In favor.
Thank you very much. And Scott?
In favor.
Thank you. Robert, in favor also.
Great. Almost done. Number four, adding the language with the understanding that this change in job description would have to be approved by the SRA's union and supervising agency. I'll make a motion to add that language, yep.
Second.
Thank you.
Okay, Deborah Alexander.
In favor.
Jonathan?
In favor.
Thank you. Nuala?
In favor.
Shannon?
In favor.
Thank you very much. Amina?
In favor.
Fatima?
In favor.
Katrina?
In favor.
Scott?
In favor.
I'll be in favor also. Thank you.
Number six, I'll make motion to add the following language. The following, while already the district norm, shall be codified in each school's safety plan. Any seconds?
I'll second.
I'll second. Thank you, Trina.
Okay.
So, Deborah Alexander.
In favor.
Jonathan Greenberg.
In favor.
Nuala O'Doherty.
In favor.
Shannon Lee.
In favor.
Thank you. Amina Maisa.
In favor.
Fatima Lakrafi.
In favor.
Katrina Harris.
In favor.
Scott Sharon. Scott? Scott going on? Scott? Scott, you're there. We may have to get back to him. Robert in favor. Robert Cruz in favor. Scott, you're in favor?
Yeah. Keep me on.
Thank you very much. Or opposed? Don't want to muddy the waters. Okay, I think it passed.
Okay. Number eight, adding the language negative and or punitive where it's written. Negatively and or punitive. Make a motion to do that.
I will second. Deborah Alexander?
In favor.
Jonathan?
In favor.
Newell O'Doherty?
In favor.
Shannon Lee?
In favor.
Thank you. Amina Maisa?
In favor.
Fatima Lakrafi?
In favor.
Katrina Harris?
In favor.
Scott Sharon?
In favor.
Robert Cruz, in favor.
And the last one, adding, I'll make a motion to add, as well as share out the data quarterly at a CEC meeting.
I second.
Thank you. Rob, roll, please.
Deborah Alexander.
In favor.
Jonathan Greenberg.
In favor.
Nuala O'Doherty.
In favor.
Shannon Lee.
In favor.
Amina Maisa.
In favor.
Fatima Lakrafi.
In favor.
Katrina Harris.
Favor.
Scott Sharon.
In favor.
And Robert Cruz in favor.
I'm sorry, we have one more, adding the LGBTQ students in the footnote and immigrant students. I'd like to make a motion to add that language.
I second.
Great.
Deborah Alexander.
In favor.
Jonathan Greenberg.
In favor.
Nuala O'Doherty.
Favor.
Sharon Lee.
In favor.
Shannon Lee. Amina Maisa.
In favor.
Fatima Lakrafi.
In favor.
Katrina Harris?
In favor.
Scott Sharon?
In favor.
And Robert Cruz in favor.
Great, and now I'm going to make the final motion. I would like to make a motion to adopt resolution 145.
Can I actually say something before that motion? Sure. I wanted to say a couple things. One was that I just want to call out a couple things from the chat that were mentioned earlier. Shauna said, this is a quote, this, and she was talking about the data from principals and schools. She said, this data needs to be robust, systematically collected, and able to be disaggregated by gender, race, ethnicity, position, relationships, meaning parent, teacher, school leader, resident, to be able to take more informed and representative action. And I just think that's a very important thing for us to listen to. This is not easy to get representative and really valid data, especially when we're doing this as part-time volunteers and we don't have staffs and we don't have expertise in this stuff. But the data that we get if we don't do it right is not going to actually represent our district. So I just wanted to bring that out. And the other thing I wanted to say was that just to Marilyn from Make the Road, we owe an enormous amount to you, to your organization, and to other organizations that have been working toward this end, to get police out of schools for years and years and years. So many of us are just waking up to this, and I just want to say that I wouldn't vote for this resolution if I didn't think that it would help us get to where we need to go as a system, as a school system, as a city, even though I'm not comfortable with everything in the resolution. So I just thank you to make the road.
I do feel the need to point out that I recommended at our last meeting doing surveys, which I was told that surveys are not good. I get that not all surveys are great. So I would love, considering we tend to have extra money in our budget, I would love to discuss putting money towards an actual scientific, omniscient, you know, professionally done survey for the next issue that we tackle, because I hear a lot of, oh, people who come to meetings aren't representative. Well, talking to SLTs are not representative, and we need to find something that is going to get appropriate feedback from our community. So I would love to talk about how we do that, and if we can sort of norm a way that this council engages with the community, because I agree a lot of these methods are flawed or have pros and cons and flaws, but we can't just throw our hands up and say, well, we can't XYZ because it's flawed. We have to find a way to get this feedback. So maybe we could throw some money at it and say, let's try a survey done by a professional company that can aggregate all this data, exactly like you say. Because I agree. I think finding out this data, who thinks what, has been eye-opening. When you look at some of the feedback that we heard from particular schools is very interesting, but it's very limited. We also sort of ran out of time at the end of this year. But sure. So anyway, that is to say, I'm making a motion to adopt resolution 145 in support of rehoming, redefining, and reimagining the role of safety agents in District 30 public schools with the changes that we just approved. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you.
Got Sharon.
I think you said abstain.
Abstain, okay. Fatima? Fatima Lakrafi.
In favor.
Katrina Harris?
In favor.
Nuala O'Doherty?
In favor.
Amina Maita?
In favor.
Jonathan Greenberg?
In favor.
Deborah Alexander?
In favor.
And Robert Cruz in favor.
Great. I agree with everybody that I hope this is a beginning, and that we continue this specific conversation as we see what the DOE does and how we react to that, and that this is absolutely a beginning and not the end of this conversation. Thank you everybody for being here and weighing in, especially people who came twice last week and this week. We really appreciate it. It's really important. And thank you to the council. Thank you to Gail. Thank you to Dr. Composto and the principals who added this to their plate, even though they had so many other things. Anyone else want to say anything? Because I've talked an awful lot tonight, even for me.
We'll see you in July.
Well,
thank you, Deborah, for everything.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Deborah.
Call it over 9:19. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Jonathan, for initially proposing it too. You know, he got the conversation started, which is important, and for everybody sharing in the conversation here. I'm glad we all passed it unanimously, and we can hopefully, it's a good stepping stone to something better.
Yeah.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Okay. Take care. Be safe, guys.
Good night.
Be safe, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Stay well.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Thank you.